This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 3, Book 71, entitled Roberta Evans Begins to Sense a Rival. Well, it's vacation time at the Sky Ranch, and most of the family is present, including a weekend guest, Roberta Evans. However, Pinky's out in the world making his fortune in a lumber camp up north. Joan's in town with Paul, working at the airfield. And last night, Father and Mother Barber returned to Seacliff because, as Henry says, there are times when even the most ardent family man can love his grandchildren more dearly at a distance. Mother and Father Barber are at the breakfast table.
More coffee, Henry? Piece of toast?
No, thank you. Nothing more.
I believe you got a little sunburned at the Sky Ranch.
Yeah, sat around that swimming pool too long without my hat yesterday.
Well, maybe next time you'll listen to me.
Next time we go up, I'll spend all my time down in my hammock. Too much noise and confusion around that swimming pool anyway.
Wonderful place for children.
Yes. I can take just so much of it, and then I want to get back here in the quiet of our own home.
By next weekend, you won't be able to wait to get down there again.
Yes. You'd better call up to Paul and Joan to come down here to breakfast. They'll be late getting out to the airport.
Oh, they'll be along. Paul knows what time he has to get Joan out there much better than you.
Yes. Very well, my dear.
Henry, are you grumpy this morning?
I wasn't aware of it.
Well, you are, like an old bear. Are you still irritated because Joan went out last night? Is that it?
That's Paul's responsibility, not mine.
Exactly what I've been trying to tell you.
Just the same, I think the whole arrangement is wrong. Joan belongs with her parents. Paul is making a big mistake in assuming the responsibility of a girl of Joan's age.
Well, what's so wrong with it?
Suppose something happens, then what?
And what do you think is going to happen, Henry?
I don't know. But apparently she's been out with this boy from the airport two or three times now.
Well, What of it? Paul knows him. He must think it's all right. He wouldn't permit it. Personally, I think this whole thing is wonderful for Joan.
Oh, you do?
I certainly do. She's ecstatically happy with her job, and I've never seen her such fine spirit. Why don't you appreciate this new Joan without moodiness or sullenness?
Yes, sir.
Honestly, Henry, when you get yourself into a tizzy...
Good morning, folks.
Oh, good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Grandfather.
Good morning.
Paul will be right down. Sit there, Joan. There's orange juice all poured for you.
Oh, thanks. Gee, it's sure swell of you to fix breakfast for us, Grandmother. I guess you'll be glad when Mrs. Kettleman's back from her vacation.
Paul tells me you've been getting his breakfast every morning.
Oh, I like doing it. I never tried cooking much before. Of course, there isn't much to getting a breakfast. We eat out the rest of the time when you're gone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Oh, Paul.
How goes it, Mom? If you'll give me a kiss, the day will have a perfect start.
What a nice thought.
Who's the gentleman buried in the newspaper here?
Henry.
Huh?
Paul speaking to you. Can't you say good morning?
I said good morning.
Well, nobody heard it.
I heard a little grunt. You ought to know after all these years, Mom, that a grunt from Dad can mean almost anything from good morning to what have you.
Joan, there's some hot cereal on the stove. Or would you rather have some eggs?
Oh, no, the cereal will be fine. Paul?
Perfect, perfect.
Oh, sit still, Grandmother. I'll get it.
Thank you, dear. Do you want to take the coffee pot and warm it up a little?
Oh, sure. I'll just be a sec.
I can't get over the improvement in Joan's attitude, Paul. You've been a tonic for her.
She's coming along, isn't she?
Why, she's not the same girl.
Oh, yes, Mom. Same girl who's developing a new outfit.
Paul, you say you know this boy, eh?
What's that?
This boy that Joan went out with last night.
Oh, Ken Arthur? Yeah, he's a lad who works down at the airport.
Do you know anything about him?
Not a great deal, no.
What does he do down there?
He's a grease monkey.
Huh?
What's that for?
Sure, that's his job. He services planes. They call themselves grease monkeys.
And you're permitting Joan to go out with a monkey?
Well, grease monkey, Dad. Why not? He's a very nice lad. He wants to be a flyer.
Well, it's your own affair, of course. You got yourself into this situation. But...
Yeah? But what?
Well, don't you think that we've had enough trouble the past few weeks without inviting more of it?
What makes you think there's going to be trouble?
Exactly, Henry.
Well, don't say I didn't warn you. Grease monkey.
Henry.
Hot cereal coming up.
Ah, yes. Saved from starvation at the last moment by a lovely young maiden.
You look pretty healthy for a starving man.
Well, where's the coffee, gal? Come, my coffee.
Oh, yes, master, but I only have two hands.
Well, that's no excuse.
I put some bread in the toaster while I was out there. I'll get it and bring in the coffee.
Thank you, honey.
Welcome.
You see, Henry, she's a different girl.
Does this boy live with his family, Paul?
Uh-oh, here we go again.
Huh?
I think so, Dad. I told you I didn't know too much about him. But I do know this. I have complete confidence in Joan. Furthermore, I feel that I'm a fair judge of character and of human nature, and I'll stake anything that this Ken is an all right boy. So I wish you'd please stop worrying. Here comes the coffee.
Good and hot, too.
Sit down, Joan, child, and eat your cereal before it gets cold.
Okay.
The Cliffs really come to life up the Sky Ranch, huh, Mom?
Oh, yes. Happy and lighthearted. More like the old Clifford every day.
Yeah, wonderful.
He said to give you and Joan his love when he left yesterday.
Well, Joan, I'll probably be able to go up there next weekend. How about it, Joan?
Oh, swell. Is Roberta Evans still up there?
Oh, yes. I think she's coming back home today or tomorrow.
That'll be tough on Cliff.
Yes, yes, fine girl. Got lots of sense.
Oh, are you listening, Henry? Why don't you put that paper down?
Very well, Fanny. Very well.
Good old Cliff. Maybe he's going to find happiness after all.
Well, I just hope he doesn't overdo. He's so full of goodwill and exuberance, there's just no holding him down.
Oh, Cliff, wait a minute.
Oh, good morning, Hazel. Ever see anything like this morning? Look at that sparkle on the hills.
Well, what's your hurry? Come on, have us way up.
Hey, I haven't had breakfast yet. My stomach's caved in.
What?
I'm so hungry, my knees are knocking together. Hi there, Hank, my boy.
Oh, hi, Uncle Cliff. The mailman's been here. I just got a swell letter from Pinky. You
want to
hear it?
Well, not right now. Do you mind? There's just one thing I want to hear. The gentle splash of hot black coffee in a cup.
Oh, boy. I'll go read it to Mom and Dad.
Hi, Cliff.
Hiya, Jackson, old son, old son, old son.
You and Nicky and Claude get back from your horseback ride?
I did. Nicky and Claude rode on down to the Newman place.
Did, huh? Want some coffee?
Oh, do I want some coffee. And what is this on the sideboard? Biscuits. Chafing dish?
Creamed codfish. You like it?
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You don't mean to say everything's going to be perfect. Creamed codfish on hot biscuits.
Oh, fresh raspberry jam for the biscuit.
Oh, it's too much. It's too beautiful. Doggone, am I starved. And look at that lovely creature coming down the stairs. Hi, Roberta.
Good morning, Clifford.
What is that? The latest in bathing suits? Wow.
And how do you like the robe?
Who cares about the robe with a swimsuit like that? Hey, come on, have some coffee with me.
Hazel's waiting for me. I promised to go swimming.
How long do you think you'll swim?
About an hour. Why?
Well, come back here then. I'll still be eating.
Oh, you look wonderful, Cliff.
Everybody looks wonderful. It's the weather.
I'll see you later.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
What the dickens has got into you this morning?
I really couldn't tell you. There I was, cantering along on the Palomino, and...
Aren't those biscuits wonderful?
Oh, hot baking powder, biscuit, jam, butter. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, there I was, cantering along on that new Palomino. Great name for him, too. Big Stuff. Swell name for a horse.
You were cantering along, and what?
I was cantering along the wood trail, and I never saw a horse in my life with an easier gait. That's a fact. I rode a Tennessee walking horse one time, like the proverbial rocker, but I'll take Big Stuff any day. Hey, pour me some coffee, will you?
Well, what happened?
I got to thinking. Here I was in one of the prettiest places in the world, on a good horse, feeling like a million, and all of a sudden I thought, I've got a son.
Oh, I see. Slide the butter over here, will you?
You don't see it all. Nobody could understand it. Suppose you woke up in the morning with 11 years gone out of your life, and those triplets of yours came walking in, suddenly 11 years older and beautiful. After the first shock was over, well, wouldn't it give you a lift?
Oh, boy. 11 years of bills, all paid.
No, seriously.
I know what you mean, Cliff.
I had a talk with Andy, that's Skippy, only now he's agreed that Andrew's a good name. He's calling me Dad now, too. Boy, does that send goose pimples up my arm? Dad. Well, anyhow, I got to thinking this morning. I can pal around with Andy all summer, riding, hiking, reading books together, and help him see things clearly so he won't make the same brutal mistakes I did. Oh, what a chance. Slide the butter back. Oh, I can't explain it, but anyhow, I've got a tremendous lift. Morning, Daniel. Had your breakfast?
Morning, Clifford. How do you feel?
Like $40 million, that's all.
You're 45, wouldn't you say?
Or 50. Feels swell. Had your breakfast?
Hours ago. I'm looking for Hazel. Scuttlebutt has it. There's a letter from Pinky.
Yes, so here.
Hazel's out by the pool.
That's right. I just saw her.
Give me one more biscuit.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, still good eating. See you later.
You're okay. You know, Jack, when I gave Skippy that motor scooter, he still wasn't dead sure he liked me, you know, the way I pushed him off on other people all those years. It's no wonder. But anyhow, I was out on the steps there, and he'd go chugging past, and every now and then he'd look at me out of the corner of his eye.
Kind
of
shy.
Yeah. He must have ridden that scooter 9 hours that day. And the more he rode it, the better he liked it. And the more he thought of me. Then in the evening, he called me Dad for the first time. Oh, he looks so much like Ann. Even his voice is a little like hers. The way he says things, his enunciation. What am I talking like this for? You don't know what I'm trying to say. Probably doesn't make any sense.
You know something?
What?
I think I'll get myself a good hard bash on the head.
What for?
There are a few years I'd like to forget. Yes, sir, but forever.
Well, what years?
That 4-year stint in the Army. I used to be lighthearted, too, remember? Gay and free and lyric, just the way you are. Must have been the Army that got me down.
You don't think a grand total of 6 daughters might have sloped your shoulders a little? Oh, hey. Hey, there's Andy. Fence riding with his motor scooter. He gets 50 miles to the gallon. I bet he used 3 gallons those last 2 days. Oh, everybody's going to be mighty proud of him someday. And if you think I sound sentimental, I'll poke you in the eye. Oh, Hank, now what?
Oh, well, this really is a swell letter. You want to hear it now?
Dan was looking for it. Did you read it to him?
Oh, not yet, but I read it to Ben and Betty and Miss Evans, and I might as well read it to you now that I'm here.
Now, read it to Jack. I want to catch the demon driver of that motor scooter on his next time around. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, Cliff?
Don't let anybody put that chafing dish away. I may want some more.
Okay.
Hey, Andy.
Good morning.
What are you going to do today, son?
I don't know.
Oh, so what's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, hey, Skip, what's wrong?
Not a thing. I guess I'll use my wrench and tighten up things now I've stopped anyhow.
Uh-huh. Mind if I sit down here and watch you?
No, sir.
Now, look, Andy, wait a minute. Something's eating you, young fella. Hmm? You... want me to call you Skippy instead, Andy? Hey, come on now. You got stuff on your mind, I want to hear it. You sore at me? Hmm? Huh, fella?
I'm not sore, Dan.
Well, what's the matter then?
Are you going to get married?
What?
I heard Ben and Hank talking. They think you're going to get married again.
Oh, they do, huh? And to whom?
That girl.
Roberta Evans, you mean?
Dad, are you gonna?
Well, Skip, that's a pretty tough thing for a man to answer. When you get a little older, you'll realize that there's one thing you can never be dead sure of. And a good many men have said that they'd never get married, and 2 weeks later, they're just coming home their honeymoon.
Oh. Then I guess you are.
Oh, no, Skip. I just mean no man can make a promise about marriage. I haven't any intention of getting married. Will that do?
I wouldn't want you to promise anyhow.
Well, why not?
Promise is no good.
Oh? You mean mine isn't? Andy, Skip.
It didn't used to be.
What sort of promises did I break? Come on now, tell me.
Oh... You'd say to wait in my room, and you'd come up and read me a story. And I'd wait, and you wouldn't come.
Just a stinker, huh?
Or you'd promise a picnic, but we'd never have it. Or a movie, but we'd never go. Just stuff like that. But I don't think you'd break a promise now, if you made one.
You think I've improved, huh?
Oh, sure. You've improved a lot, Dad.
What makes you think so? Because I gave you the scooter?
No. In lots of ways. You stop and talk to me. Like this. Just us talking. That's an improvement.
Oh. Skipper, you don't want me to get married again. Is that it?
No, it isn't any of my business.
Oh, yes, it is.
Pardon me. Hey, Hank.
What?
So Dan was looking for you.
I know it. Where is he?
He's up by the pool.
Okay, I'll go see him.
Now, look here, Skip. Roberta Evans is a mighty nice girl. I like her. But you know, when I woke up in the hospital, I was under the impression that she was Paul's girl, not mine. I can't remember yet where I met her. You understand? I'm just getting acquainted with her. We're just friends, Skip. Ben and Hank were romancing a little, maybe.
Honest?
Why, sure. I give you my word, as of this moment, I have no plans for getting married. And I'm flattered that it bothers you.
Oh, boy. Say, Dad.
Yeah?
How'd you like to ride on the scooter with me?
Is there room?
Sure. It's a big seat. Try it. See?
Well, sure enough. Oh, have we finished our conversation about Roberta?
Let's don't ever mention her again. Hang on tight now. Where'd you want to go?
Well, let's go. Let's go up past the pool.
Okay, Dad. Here we go. I'll pretend it's an airplane.
Well, not while I'm on. It's far enough to fall when it's still a scooter. Oh, hey, there's Roberta. She isn't through swimming already.
I'm going to go right past her. Fast.
Hey, Roberta, where are you going?
Look at the two scooter kids. How young can you get?
I haven't seen Cliff act this way in years. Have you, Dan?
Never. The years he's forgotten have left his face, too. He feels 28, acts 28. That makes him 28. Makes me think of a line I read one time. The way you think is the way you act, and the way you act is what happens.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who wrote that?
A psychologist named Donald McLean. Good, isn't it?
The way you think is the way you act. The way you act is what happens. Yes, that's excellent. Maybe I'll make myself think I'm a girl of, well, what?
30?
You, 30. I was going to say 20.
Oh, don't do that. You'd be too young for me. Hey, Hank, where have you been?
Oh, I've been reading Pinky's letter to different people.
Well, let's see it. I'm the one who's been worrying about the boy. Hand it over.
No, let me read it. I like reading it.
Pinky says nice things about Hank. He wants to be sure people skip nothing.
Okay, Hank, go ahead.
Dear Hank and everybody, I've had a little sore throat, but don't worry about me. I'm going to stay all summer. Mr. Justin wouldn't get me in the Forest Service, but he got me a fine job where I'm learning a lot about cooking.
What?
Yeah, cooking. That's what he says. It's great up here in this lumber camp, and you never saw a man that could eat so many potatoes. I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and start peeling potatoes, and I'm still pretty busy about 8 hours later. Writing's kind of faint here. I got a title already. It's second assistant cook. I cut my hand, but don't worry about it because there's only a little affection.
Just a little, huh?
Yeah, and that won't keep me from staying here all summer. I get 17 a week and... I sure miss you, Hank, and I'm sorry I used to get sore at you because you're a good guy and our fights weren't my fault.
Well, can you read that without blushing?
I don't interrupt. The next part's fascinating.
Well, here, you read, Dan. My tonsils are getting tired.
Fine, let's see. The air is fine and cold here, especially at night, which is good for me, and you certainly have to be a man among men to stick it out. By the end of the summer, I'll sure be mature, and I wish you were here, Hank. This is a fine, free experience to get out in the world and find out how they fell trees and see how much the ordinary lumberjack can eat. You wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. They eat pounds of stuff every meal, especially potatoes. It's a healthy life. I stubbed my toe pretty bad in the dark the other night, but that isn't going to keep me from staying all summer, even though I'm still limping pretty badly. Very slight infection in the toe. Well, Hank, I never realized how important a twin brother is until I got way up here alone in this beautiful wild country with nobody that talks my language. See you in September. Love to everybody, Pinky.
Quite a letter, isn't it, Dan?
Yes, isn't it?
Gee, it sure sounds great. Wild, free country and felling trees and good cold nights. Golly, I think I'll go up there and join them.
What?
Well, that would be a good experience for a medical student, all those accidents. Lumberjacks probably get hurt a lot. I can practice first aid.
Hank, you mean to say you don't understand that letter?
Well, sure I understand it.
Hank, Pinky isn't going to stay there.
Well, he says he is. He says right here.
Here, let me show you.
Oh, Mom, what are you laughing about?
Darling, you didn't read between the lines, and that's a good lesson. Never bother to read anything unless you read between the lines.
Now, listen to this, Hank. Not only with your ears, but with your mind. I've had a little sore throat. Now, that could develop into something that'd bring him home, couldn't it?
Huh?
Gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning after freezing all night. You ever peel a ton of potatoes, Hank?
Not a ton.
Well, your twin brother's peeled a ton of potatoes. He doesn't like it. Second assistant cook. You know what that means?
What?
Well, he gets all the jobs nobody else wants to do. Cut his hand. Stubbed his toe. Infection. Infection? Ye gods, Hank. He's laid down three or four wonderful excuses to come home. One of these days we look out the window and there'll be our pinky. Yeah, the truth is, Hank, he's just about as homesick as a boy can get.
Gosh, let me read it again.
Yes, do. Oh,
gee, he'd feel worse than ever if he knew you were laughing at him.
Not really laughing, Hank. Just a sympathetic, understanding chuckle.
Second assistant cook in a lumber camp. Hank, if your brother ever becomes a great man, he can always say proudly that he started right smack at the bottom. Uh-oh, here comes the Sky Ranch One Lung Express again. Hold on to your hat.
Okay, Andy, let me off here.
Swimming pool, everybody out.
Thanks for the ride.
I'm going to take him on up to the stables. Board, see you later, Dad.
Bye. Hi, Roberta, stay there. I'm coming over.
At the rate he's going, I'm afraid Skippy will have that scooter worn out before the week is over.
Oh, he's certainly punishing it, all right.
Sit down. Oh, wait till I get this wet towel out of your way.
Here.
Oh. You have a good swim?
Oh, the water's divine, Clifford. Why don't you go put your trunks on and take a dip? Makes you feel wonderful.
Later, maybe. Right now, I've got some things I want to get off my mind.
My goodness. All of a sudden, so serious. What now?
Oh, I didn't mean to be abrupt.
Clifford, you couldn't hide what you feel if you wanted to. I can tell when you're beginning to cloud up inside.
It's funny, isn't it? I was right on top of the world earlier this morning.
Do you know what it is?
Partly.
Skippy? Andrew, that is?
Well, that started, I guess.
Started what?
Oh, thinking about myself.
And about me, maybe?
Well, yes.
Clifford, look at me. I want you to understand something. Whenever you feel low and introspective, which is so natural for you to do occasionally while you're recuperating, don't ever let me be any kind of a worry to you.
Oh, you're not a worry, Roberta. You've been tremendous through all this.
Yes, but I have a feeling sometimes you think, gosh, what am I getting myself into with that girl anyway? Could there be something like that in the back of your mind? Just a little, maybe?
Well, you see, I don't quite know how to put it. What I'm trying to say is that it isn't you, really. It's me.
Let's be quite honest with one another, Clifford. Why don't you come right out and tell me what's in your mind? After all, that's the only fair thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well?
Well, when I first saw Skippy this morning, he was kind of acting like something was eating him, and the thing was, silly, I guess.
No, it isn't. Go on. What did Skippy say about me? I'm sure that was it.
Oh, he likes you, really. Really does.
But he's afraid you might want to marry me, is that it?
Yes.
Well, it shouldn't be too big a problem. You haven't committed yourself, and I'm not going to sue you.
Oh, please.
That wasn't very funny, I'm sorry. And Skippy's attitude is perfectly understandable. Here he's finding his father for the first time, and the thought of sharing you now, anyway, is a bit hard on the poor little guy.
Well, maybe, but...
And now you feel mixed up. You don't want to hurt Skippy, and you don't know what to do about me. Right?
That's only part of it.
And the rest?
Well, that started me on a whole train of thought. Mostly about what a mess I've made of marriage.
But I thought you'd got that pretty well straightened out, Clifford. That what happened wasn't your fault. Wasn't because of any dereliction or lack of love or devotion on your part.
Well, I've told myself that over and over, but when Skippy mentioned marriage, you'd heard Ben and Hank talking about us. Well, that's what started it.
Yes?
Well, my mind jumped to something that the Reverend MacArthur said in that eulogy to Irene. Hazel has a record of it. She played it for me the other day. I was at her house. She thought it might help me.
Yes, you told me, and it did help you. You said so.
Yes, but one part of it hit me right between the eyes today. It started this sort of, this train of thought.
What part are you referring to, Clifford?
Well, it went something like this, that Irene had brought something fine into the world, and it must remain, even though she has departed.
Well, I think that's a lovely thought. That should only give you a sense of peace over her loss.
Yes, but don't you see, Roberta, here's a girl I married and lived with and lost in those missing 11 years. And she's a stranger, a complete blank.
This sweet person who married me is gone. Worse than gone, because there isn't even a memory. And Anne is gone. It seems that any girl who has anything to do with me ends up in utter disaster.
You blame yourself for that?
Well, maybe not, but it just seems I must be bad medicine for women.
Oh, Clifford.
Well, all my life, Dad's talked about the sanctity of marriage. That it's a lifelong partnership of love and understanding, and that broken homes and divorces are sinful. I wanted my marriage to be the way he had pictured to me ever since I was a boy. With Anne, I went into it with the feeling it actually was something that heaven had brought about. Out of it came nothing but desolation. With Irene, I don't know, but it must have been the same. Then I meet you. And again, I begin thinking that I found the answer to this idealistic relation that Dad's talked about.
And now you doubt?
No. No, it's because I don't doubt it. That's what upsets me.
Well, isn't that paradoxical?
No, Roberta. When I see what a gentle, kind person you are, I want to put aside my selfish wishes. I want you to be happy. And that's something that's impossible with me. If anything ever happened to you... Do you understand at all what I'm getting at?
Yes, Clifford.
Oh, doggone it. Now I've got you all upset. You see, there's an example of what I mean. Stick around Cliff Barber long enough and it'll work out some way so everything will be all balled up.
Everything isn't all balled up. You've got to stop letting your mind go in that channel. And as far as my relation to you is concerned, it's... Oh, here comes Skippy back.
I wish he wouldn't go so fast on that thing.
He doesn't look too pleased at my being here.
Don't you think you've ridden enough for a while?
Okay. Come here a minute, will you, Dad?
Why don't you come over here? I'm talking to Roberta. Hey, fella.
Yeah, Dad?
Didn't you hear me? I said, why don't you come over here?
Okay.
He's anything but enthusiastic.
He'll be all right when the new wears off. Hiya, fella.
You having a lot of fun, Skippy?
Sure.
Oh, want to sit down here by me?
Well, I...
Come on, do you good to rest a bit here by the pool.
I think I'll go put on my bathing suit and take a swim.
All right.
Don't let any of the kids ride my scooter while I'm gone.
Bye. I'm not getting over too well with your son.
Oh, he's thinking about the scooter.
I don't think so.
Huh?
No, Clifford. He's thinking about Roberta Evans. And not too pleasant thoughts either, I'm afraid.
Just heard Chapter 3, Book 71 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 4, entitled Definite Progress in Family Relations, will come to you next week at this same time. Man's Family comes to you from California.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.